I'm speaking with Al Withers, who's in Colorado for a conference called Agriculture in the Classroom that was held in Loveland. He's part of a group of educators from around the country working to increase agricultural literacy in K through 8 classrooms. He works at the Department of Agriculture in St. Paul, Minnesota. He's the program director for an Agriculture in the Classroom program that they have in Minnesota. He's visiting the North Fork Valley to see how farming is done in Colorado in some part, and just to, I guess, see this part of the state, right?
That's correct.
Well, welcome to Local Motion. It's nice to speak with you about the issue of connecting people to agriculture and connecting people to their food source, really. That's what you aim to do, right?
Yeah, my job for the last 27 years is trying to help people become more literate about agriculture and how they're connected to their food source from production, processing, distribution, how it's part of their daily life.
Why do you think that's important?
I'm a rural guy from a small town in southwestern Minnesota, corn, soybeans, hogs, called a town by the name of Jackson, Minnesota. And I got interested in the connections between marketing, communications, fundraising, agriculture, and education. And that's how it all started back in 1985.
Why is it important for kids to know about where their food comes from?
Well, it's the staff of life. You have to eat to live. And it's a fabric of America, and it basically helped build America. And self-sufficiency in terms of food and our country's ability to produce more than we need at home is really a huge food security piece for this country.
Do you worry about our food system? What do you think are some of the things that are that we need to reform in the way that we grow food and eat food?
That's a big question. We're really polarized, sort of like politics right now. We're really polarized in this country in terms of agriculture. You're either very big or you're small. And if you look across America, we're losing a lot of the family element, the family farming element, in large part because of economy of scale. Input costs for agriculture are huge. So, you know, we really have that huge operator, and then we have this whole movement to try to be more local and to be able to be closely connected to your food source.
Now, when you're teaching in your classrooms in Minnesota, teaching kids about food, how do you do that? What do you do in the classrooms?
We're really education about agriculture, not education in agriculture. We're really about literacy and embedding agriculture into the core subject areas. So all of the materials that are developed are to help the science teacher, the social studies teacher, the language arts teacher, the reading teacher, the nutrition teacher, you know, your geography, your history, your economics, your life science, your plant science, to help those teachers use agriculture as a vehicle for learning or infuse agriculture into their curriculum. So we're not asking them to stop on Thursday afternoon and teach agriculture. We're saying, hey, you're teaching geography. Why don't you use the geography of Colorado or Minnesota as the context for learning and use that as the lens to understand geography?
That's great. So speaking of geography, when you were in Loveland at this conference, were there people from the North Fork Valley or from Western Colorado over there?
Oh, yeah. Definitely, there was a very good contingent from Colorado. I learned quite a bit. We had workshops. Actually, the last Friday, we had a big water festival. So lots of learning stations, learning about water, which is amazing to me, coming from the land of 10,000 lakes. I mow my yard twice every week. We don't worry about water rights. We learned about the West Slope and the East Slope and the whole nine yards in terms of Colorado agriculture and the diversity from the irrigation in the east and how they get that water off the slope. So part of our conference is to go to other parts of the country and learn about that agriculture and bring that message back, just to see that whole notion of water and how it affects and drives everything in this state as an important geographic message for everybody else that was part of the conference.
Uh-huh. Do they have a lot of small organic farms?
Yeah, actually, the two largest growing elements of Minnesota agriculture is organic agriculture and then the whole area of nursery and horticulture and nursery. You know, the green industry, so to speak, in terms of plants and all that sort of stuff. But we have the second largest Hmong population in America, and they have a huge imprint on the St. Paul and Minneapolis farmers markets in terms of their ability to grow things and their work ethic and their community agriculture. Uh-huh. The other thing when you look at what we're maybe known for recently in agriculture is ethanol.
Oh, right.
So we have 27 million acres in agriculture in Minnesota. 15 million of those acres are in corn and soybeans. This year, they'll plant about 8 million acres of corn. 40% of that corn is going to go into your car. One of the reasons we have agriculture in the classroom programs, our mission really is to help people understand how agriculture is part of their daily life. But it's not really designed to have them, you know, be able to name the breeds of cattle. It's really to help them understand agriculture to the level of higher thinking, to be able to analyze, synthesize, and make decisions. But agriculture, just as much as society, is about trade-offs. So we have trade-offs in every piece.
Yeah.
We used to have 15,000 dairy farms in Minnesota. We have 4,500 now. But yet we don't. We still have the same number of dairy animals and the same milk production. They've just gotten really large. When you look at ethanol, there's trade-offs. It's renewable. It's cleaner. We're able to use land to produce something and not be as dependent on oil long term. Now, it wasn't designed, again, to be the number of acres that we're using. So, yeah, those are the trade-offs and those are the concerns. They've gotten a lot better in terms of the energy conversion, and they've gotten a lot better at using less water to produce a gallon of ethanol.
Mm-hmm.
But the trade-offs are more acres in corn, which means you're interrupting the land more. You know, you're probably putting marginal land into corn because you can make good money off of that because of the demand for corn today. Corn is in 5,000 products. Go to the grocery store and try to find something that doesn't have high fructose corn syrup in it.
Right.
You're not gonna.
Right.
So as much as ethanol gets bashed, it does have some value. And, of course, those that are raising corn are promoting it and are for ethanol. We do need to find other alternatives that are also renewable from the agricultural perspective.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, the one other trade-off I wanted to mention is, as much as we talk about local agriculture and sustainability, we're going to have 9 billion people in this world in the next 20 years, and that won't feed the world. And so you're never going to get away from large-scale agriculture from the standpoint of the economics of it and the global piece of it. India and China have a huge growing appetite for higher-valued food, so they're wanting more meat and potatoes, so to speak, and that takes grains to feed them, and it takes, you know, the animals then to build that country's agriculture. So now China and India and some of those other countries are now taking more of our raw products to be able to feed their animals and to be able to have a larger livestock sector to their agriculture. So with the population growing, we will not be able to use the practices that might be in this local community on a worldwide scale. You know, less than 2% of Americans produce for the 98 or for the 100, plus global market. So I have watched over the last 25 years how disconnected people have become to agriculture. We have people at our state fair that will ask, how do you get the meat out of the animal without killing it? They'll actually ask that. So they then become part of Soundbite America. They don't know anything about agriculture. Perceptions become reality. And so those that can advertise, it's only going to get worse in terms of that disconnect when you have that few of a people really producing for the rest of the nation.
How do you think America has changed the way it's eating? Like, what do you think we like right now?
Well, I'm really seeing a lot of people want to eat healthier. Mm-hmm. More fruits and vegetables, less caffeine, less processed foods. It's just like politics. You know, things move slowly, mm-hmm. and, you know, they kind of ebb and tide, and I can just see that whole element growing and growing and growing, or particularly driven by the obesity situation. Mm-hmm. And obesity isn't just eating too much or not exercising. It's basically eating the wrong foods.
Right. It's interesting because I went to California with my family. We were in Malibu, and everywhere I went, I saw people eating kale. Like they were eating kale salad. They were just sitting there munching on it raw. They cannot get enough kale. And, you know, then my sister's in Wisconsin, and she says she only sees people eating French fries.
And cheese. Cheesy fries. You know, maybe that's the problem. Huh? With a little chili on the top.
Right. Mmm, that sounds delicious.
Yeah, doesn't it?
But do you think that, you know, there's just odd trends for food, too? Like, it surprised me that everyone was eating kale. Why? Did some study come out?
Wouldn't
that
be the first thing on my list, I'll tell you that. Well, I mentioned the Hmong.
Uh-huh.
They grow some really good stuff.
Yeah.
And you go to the farmer's market, and they've got the variety, you know, the bok choy and all the different vegetables. And that's really, at least in St. Paul, Minneapolis, I'm seeing people trying lots of new things, building them into their menus, eating less meat. And getting more into the fruits and vegetables.
Mm-hmm.
And the farmer's market is a good way to start. Either grow your own or go support somebody that's growing it for you at a really quite reasonable price and a very high quality product.
And I've been speaking with Al Withers, Program Director at Minnesota Agriculture in the Classroom for the Minnesota Department of Agriculture. He's visiting the North Fork, seeing how we're farming out in this part of the world, and really appreciate you coming by today.
Allie, I appreciate you having me.